I'm Jacob Lewis, and you're listening to Neighbors, the show where next door hits home, telling surprising stories of ordinary people. It's an unwritten rule in Nashville. You see a famous musician who lives in town, you let them be. Your heart might skip a beat when you see Robert Plant or Jack White or Emmylou Harris or whoever it is for you, but you let them be. Music City has always been a safe haven for musicians. It's where they raise their kids and buy their groceries. It's their home, and people generally want to protect that. It's that idea of home that we explore today. We're going into the houses of two very different Nashville musicians. The first is Roger Wiesmeyer, a classically trained English horn and piano player. He plays for the Nashville Symphony. The second, an introverted indie rocker, Ben Elkins of the band LL. So to get to know what our musical neighbors and their spaces are like, I've come up with a format that includes a bit of music. We go to their house and ask them to play us two songs. One, an original, played in the space which they often create, write, and practice. The second, a cover of a song that for them is the pinnacle of what they want to achieve in music. And since they create not only music, but their lives in these houses, we ask them to tell us about a meaningful object in their home and see where that takes us. Let's start with our producer Tasha A.F. Limley at Roger's house.
Hey! There.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
It's good to see
Come
you.
Come on in.
Thank you.
I love your hat. Oh,
thank you.
I've been wearing plenty of hats lately. Not that I've lost my hair, I'm supposed to stay warm.
Okay.
Like I said before, Roger plays English horn with the Nashville Symphony. But he has a strong passion for the piano also. He lives by himself in a nice apartment near downtown Nashville. It's cluttered, but in a cozy way. A music stand here, a yoga ball there. Sheet music in different places. But that doesn't stop him from being a gracious host.
I thought you're coming, and I'm an adult. I can, like, offer food when you get here.
That's wonderful. This looks lovely. I'm gonna have some cheese.
Would you like a glass of, cup of tea?
Sure.
Okay.
Thank you.
Let me see what I have. Here.
Roger's wearing gray sweatpants. He's 50 and has a little Steve Jobs beard and glasses combo. And he's balding. He's the kind of guy that everyone in town just seems to know. So a lot of people were relieved when they heard the good news.
I mean, my doctor actually told me that there hasn't been any cancer in me since they took it out.
Mm.
Which is good. That means that if there were any little floaties floating around, they basically zapped them.
Roger puts a cup of water in the microwave.
It was colon cancer.
Okay.
And not only had it gotten out of the colon, but it had infected 3 lymph nodes, 3 out of 15.
Okay.
And so I think that's what made it automatically stage 3.
Doctors removed all 15 lymph nodes and part of his colon.
And I think it's good.
Now, I've had family members who have been given the all clear from cancer. It is really great news. But always in the back of your mind, you wonder, will it come back? Is it hiding? And yet, normal life keeps happening.
Mm-hmm. So, do you take sugar or anything?
Sleepy time.
They get
great.
Comfortable. Okay. And because Roger is a guy who plays mostly other people's music, Tasha asks him the logical question.
Do you write your own stuff?
I write a little bit.
Okay.
I don't like wake up in the morning and write.
Even though
it probably someday I would like that to be me, but that's not me right now.
But he did in fact write a piece for himself and a friend. Roger sits in the front row of the symphony with the woodwinds. See, the English horn is more like an oboe than a brass instrument. I didn't know that. I pictured like a French horn. So anyway, behind him sits a contrabassoonist.
Just a wonderful guy and a great player. But contrabassoon is an instrument that most people don't get to hear very often. And when people do play it, when they do solos, oftentimes they're kind of comical. And he kind of, like, it rubs him the wrong way. It's like, I play a serious instrument. Why doesn't somebody write a serious piece for me?
So Roger did.
That's going to be what I play on English horn. And the bottom line is going to be the contrabassoon. I tell people I'm not a composer. I'm just somebody who loves music, who... when I do write stuff, it's usually so I kind of explore it and see how it works, so I can bring, you know, more depth to when I play other people's music.
The piece that changed it all for Roger is by Brahms.
I've probably been playing it, let's see, I turned 50 last year. I probably started in my early 20s, so I've been playing it for about 25 years. As my relationship with music changes, my approach to it changes. The way a lot of people feel about classical music who play it, the impression I get listening to them is that they're kind of in a straitjacket. That they, you know, the note has to be this way and it has to sound this way, and if it doesn't sound this way, the whole thing is ruined. And for me, it's a much more kind of squishy, animated thing. I mean, there's an idealized performance for right now, but that might not be in 10 minutes, and it certainly will be different than tomorrow. Kind of like you can't walk in the same river twice, that kind of thing.
In your house is the most creative space for you? That's another one of the questions. So right here.
Yeah, right here.
So will you describe this space and why you love it?
Well, I love this space because it has my beautiful piano. It's a 108-year-old Steinway that I've redone a lot of it, not completely. And it, when I first got it, I wanted to do right by the instrument. And so I auditioned some technicians just to like see what their approach would be. You know, a lot of the technicians would come in and they'd just play their, you know, their riffs or their three chords and say, oh yeah, you need this and this and this. And my friend Nevin, my technician, came down and he had me play. And then he said, what do you want it to sound like? And I said, I want it to sound, I want there to be depth in the sound and a kind of quality where it's kind of veiled, but then you can like pierce the veil and make it more colorful. And he just delivered in spades.
Okay, so now we are looking for an object in your house that has great meaning.
Oh my. Well, there's we'll skip the piano.
They walk over to a frame hanging above the fireplace.
Okay, well, for example, this is a manuscript from like 16th century Spanish church music.
It belonged to his godfather, who recently passed away.
And the, what's the word? Chemo brain. Social worker. She said, just go to the house and see if there's anything that you want that, you know, has been left behind. And I saw this and it's like, this is like 15th century Spanish church music. Yeah, I want this. So I rescued that.
Roger is the kind of guy that's one degree of separation from most people in Nashville. He's an incredible musician and has never met a stranger.
You know, the thing about Nashville is that, you know, we're surrounded by all these incredible composers who like wrote the soundtrack to our lives. Before I got the cancer, I used to go to the Downtown Y very frequently. And I met this woman, we were on the elliptical trainer together, and I said, what do you do? She said, I'm a songwriter. And you learn stuff when you're in a culture. You know, I would never ask a songwriter, what have you written? Because it's like, you know, maybe they've written something incredible, or maybe they've written gorgeous stuff that nobody's picked up. And, you know, so you just don't. So I said, that's really cool. And she said, my dad's a songwriter. So it's cool, I can ask what her dad wrote. So I said, what'd your dad write? And she said, oh, he wrote Tie a Yellow Ribbon Round the Old Oak Tree. It's like, oh my God. You don't even think about, like, life not existing without that song.
Right, and she's on the elliptical.
Yeah, we were just, like, hanging out. It's like, that is so cool. And that's the thing about Nashville. I mean, people just take, you know, the stuff of our lives and they spin it into something that's artistic and memorable and changes other people's lives. It's really a magical place. And I grew up here and I moved away when I was 18 and I moved back when I was 37, and it's really good to be here.
This is home. This is home.
Yeah. I mean, it's certainly my, I'm not planning on going anywhere anytime soon.
What we have in our homes can reveal what we treasure. For Roger, we can see music, family, hospitality. But I also think that where we decide to live can say something about us also. Roger lives near downtown, which is where the Symphony Hall is. But Ben Elkins of the band LL, he moved just north of town. So I went out to see his house. I'd never been up that way. It was very quiet out there.
Hello.
Hey, Ben.
This is Violet.
Hi, Violet.
Hey. She likes to bark and then she likes to lick.
Pretty day. This is awesome. There. It is.
This is our home.
Awesome, man.
Out in the north side. Have you ever been out here before?
No. I was like,
weird, isn't it?
Yeah, I was like, where am I?
Ben is tall and skinny, wearing a cardigan and a Route 66 trucker hat. He lives here with his wife, Lisa, and a brand new tiny little human.
Oh, this is baby Van. He just woke up and he's mad about it. Cause who's not mad about it when they have to wake up?
Their house is large and full of great thrift store finds. It is quiet and creaky and definitely feels like artists live here. In the center of the house is a room with a desk and a large window that looks out onto a huge tract of land. That desk is where Ben does most of his writing. But he grabs me and he takes me down into his basement, where his band LL practices and where his organ is. He turns it on and it starts to hum. He explains the cover he's chosen, or covers rather. He couldn't pick just one. He picked two that he put together in a medley. Eternal Flame by the Bangles and Wishes by Beach House.
I'm really fascinated with pop songs, especially the ones that become giant hits. Because ultimately, I think that if you make a pop song that becomes a giant hit and also it lasts forever, that's like, to me, that's one of the best things you can do artistically. Like this song is a song called Eternal Flame by the Bangles. And one of the fascinating things about this song to me is that the melody meanders throughout each verse and it's not like a snippet of notes that repeats. For instance, Taylor Swift songs. The Shake It Off song is like da 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 da. Anyways, this song, the melody is goes da 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 da. And then it repeats. It's like 30 seconds of melody, and it's beautiful melody too. And so that's one of the reasons I love this song. And the other song is that I'm kind of mashing up with it is this Beach House song called Wishes. So I kind of like put these songs together because they kind of fit in this box of things that I think are pretty much perfect songs. And I think about things like this a lot when I'm trying to write my own songs.
Close your eyes, give me your hand, darling. Do you feel my heart beating? Do you understand? Do you feel the same? Or am I only dreaming? Is this burning an eternal flame? Say my name. Sun shines through the rain. Oh, life so lonely. Then come and ease the pain. I don't want to lose this feeling. Oh, oh. The roses on the lawn. Don't know which side you're on.
Is there one item in your house that has the greatest story, in your opinion, or the most interesting thing, or the most meaning attached to it?
I'm going to have to walk around for a second. I'm sure there is, yeah.
We meander through the house a bit and end up in the bathroom.
This is a necklace that Lisa made for me. I actually, I don't know. I feel like I feel like stronger when I wear it sometimes. So if I have to go do something that I'm nervous about, or something that's like really significant in my life or that I'm really excited about, I'll usually wear this necklace. I think it was for my first birthday that we were together, and we were living in a very terrible little house together, and it was terrible in so many ways. It was falling apart. It was gross, and we got robbed. But I mean, you know, it has its sweet memories too, because it's the first place that we lived together.
It's a piece of string with three different colors of beads on it.
Turquoise, kind of a burnt orange, and a grayish purple.
They're colors you might find in the Southwest, which actually had an influence on Ben's recent music.
My wife and I went out there. Joe took a road trip out to New Mexico and in Colorado for our honeymoon. And so that's where a lot of the kind of like vibe for this song has come from.
This song is called Geode.
Crystals like Superman's. Violence so natural, made all below.
So I want to end this episode with a dog.
Violet, you said?
Uh-huh.
Hey, Violet.
She's like really old. Like 12. Or 85, as Lisa said last night.
In dog years?
Yeah. So we have to forgive her for all of her, you know, unpleasant details.
Most of life is ordinary. It's cleaning up after pets, making tea, changing diapers. Though Ben might play an amazing show in front of thousands of people, and Roger might nail the most beautiful English horn solo at the symphony, they come home and are human. Just like you, and just like me. I'm Jacob Lewis, and I'm reminding you to get to know your neighbors.
Change their minds.
For links to music, full versions of songs, and photos of Roger and Ben, visit neighborspodcast.com. Neighbors is produced by Tasha A.F. Limley, Bailey Robbins, and me, Jacob Lewis. This episode of Neighbors is brought to you by Baja Burrito in the Berry Hill neighborhood of Nashville, Tennessee. Doing it the hard way since Y2K. Come on in and build your own burrito or taco today. Neighbors is a proud member of The Herd, that's H-E-A-R-D, an amazing audio collective of story-driven shows and their producers scattered all across North America. One show that I know you'll love is called Arrivals by Jonathan Hirsch. Jonathan's latest episode is about the transformative power of loss, how one tiny life can become so large that you begin to see it everywhere and in everything.
I didn't just lose a child. I had a child. She was a specific shape, with specific DNA and organs, with a name and weight and length, with specific eye color and hair color. I grew her, and I lost her, and now I look for her everywhere.
You can find out about Arrivals and all the Herd shows at theherdradio.com. That's H-E-A-R-D. Thanks for listening. Now go play music at your neighbor's house, have a few drinks, and leave me a review on iTunes. And I'm going to let Ben finish us out.
Is this burning an eternal flame?
I tried to hit that note.